from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Henry Ab.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, September 8th. Here are today's headlines.
Official COVID rates continue to be low in Vermont. The health department documented just under 500 cases in the past week. That's a decrease from the week before. The number of people hospitalized with the virus also declined. 35 more people were admitted to a hospital with COVID. The number of outbreaks at places like schools, prisons, and long-term care facilities has also gone down. As of Tuesday, there were 9 active outbreaks, including 5 at long-term care facilities and 1 at a prison.
Scholars from around the world are meeting this weekend in Stratford to re-examine the legacy of a Vermonter from the 1800s, Congressman Justin Morrill. He drafted a plan to fund public universities and colleges across the country, known as the Land Grant Act. That legislation used federal land, almost 11 million acres, taken from tribal nations to enrich these new institutions. The scale of this transfer of wealth was outlined in a 2020 investigation by High Country News. Tracy McFadden directs the Friends of the Morrill Homestead. She says the story revealed some gaps in conventional histories.
The perspective that we've been hearing about the Land Grant College Act has not included the voices of the Indigenous people who were dispossessed of their land.
That's something the group is working to change. On Saturday, the nonprofit is hosting a conference about this history and its continued impact on Indigenous communities.
This semester, some 2,000 students will take classes at the Community College of Vermont for free. That's thanks to a state program that expanded this year to cover tuition at CCV for Vermonters whose families make $75,000 or less per year. Last year, only students whose families made up to $50,000 per year were eligible. Marilyn Cargill with the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation hopes to see this financial aid program continue.
Right now, we've got a pilot program that funding is ending, and we're going to be working really hard, and I think the legislature will be working hard to see if there's not a way to extend the funding for the program we currently have.
So far, the legislature has allocated roughly $3.5 million to provide free tuition at CCV for low- and middle-income students.
Coming up, a Middlebury alum runs and wins an ultramarathon in France. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
There's an epic ultramarathon known as UTMB or Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc held the last weekend of August each year in Chamonix, France. Think the Tour de France, but for ultra runners. The race is 106 miles long and includes a circumnavigation of Mont Blanc, Western Europe's highest mountain. And the fastest female runner to finish the race this year was Middlebury College alum Katie Scheid. She recently spoke about her experience with our colleague Mary Angish.
Well, let's hear a bit more about you first for our listeners. You're originally from Maine, but you attended Middlebury College. And then I understand in the summertime you worked lugging dozens of pounds of supplies to the huts in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. I'd love to know about how those settings, those specific places on the planet, informed your life as an ultra runner.
Growing up firmly rooted in New England definitely gave me like a lot of mental strength, especially with some of the seasons that we face in Maine and Vermont, New Hampshire, and also just like a love for the mountains that went beyond only when there's good weather or perfect trails. Growing up, I didn't realize how technical the trails are in the Northeast until I moved to Salt Lake City, Utah. And then coming to the Alps after that, I could see that, oh, wow, actually, those trails that I grew up on are quite technical.
Well, take us to Chamonix for a second for this particular race. I understand it's an international trail running mecca. It's like this destination for so many ultra runners. While you're in the race, what does it look like and feel like? What does it smell like and sound like?
It's an interesting race because you pass actually through 3 different countries and through a lot of different landscapes. So the beginning of the race, you're really passing through the town, you pass through a ski resort, and then as the sun sets, you kind of enter the real, more real mountains. And there's a lot of agriculture in the area, so there was quite a bit of cow poop, just like Vermont.
And for the UTMB, the course length is over 100 miles, and you're running overnight, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What kind of toll does that take on your body?
It's an interesting feeling to kind of start this huge undertaking when you feel like you should be going to bed. But running through the night is actually not the hardest part. I find that the early morning is really hard because that's when everything kind of starts to catch up with you. So around sunrise or just before sunrise is really when the fatigue from that night begins to set in, at least for me.
Well, what's the recovery like then?
It's hard because every time it's a little bit different. This year, I feel so much better than I expected this week. I think part of that is, of course, mental. Like, it's nice to finish and have this great result. You're still kind of on this high. So I think that travels downstream to the rest of the body as well. I don't plan to do any more racing this year.
Wow. Well, Katie, tell us about the list of must-have things that you pack with you and that you run with.
For UTMB, there's actually quite a long list of required gear that you have to have with you at all times. So that includes a whole nother change of clothes, essentially, like long pants, a long t-shirt, and then full waterproof top and bottom, hat, gloves, some safety items like a whistle, extra headlamps. So we're not running really too lightweight here, actually. We have quite a lot of stuff in our bag. I do actually typically run with a lot of that stuff anyway, just because when I'm training in the mountains, I want to be sure that if something happens, I can deal with it. Maybe that's the New Englander in me, always ready for the weather to change.
I love that. How do you train for this particular distance?
I feel like before I really got into the sport, I thought it meant you had to just run for hours and hours every single day. But it's more about choosing the times when you want to run for hours and hours, and then also balancing that with times where you are not running that much and really focus on resting.
In this particular race, the UTMB, you started out leading and then fell 40 minutes behind, and then you made up that time to win. What was your strategy to get that done?
There wasn't much of a strategy. I really started the race just saying that I wanted to run fast when I felt good and to just respect myself and my feelings when I felt bad. Because in such a long race, you know that you're going to feel bad at least once. So I just kept moving, kept running by feel and following my feelings.
You know, just hearing you talk about the race and all the challenges that it posed, I'm hearing like all these things that you can apply to like life in general. And it's making me think of this recent research I heard. Elite athletes, they're wired completely differently. And data even shows that elite athletes can focus on a goal in the near distance. And that can help overall performance and also help reach much longer distances. Is that sort of a strategy you use? And how might that approach as an athlete translate to goal setting or goal reaching and just, you know, everyday life?
Yeah, I think that's really true. Honestly, when I was mentioning this kind of low patch that I was having, I was, of course, disappointed because I had given up the lead. I felt really bad. I didn't really know what to do, but I had remembered the goal that I had set for this race that I've been saying for many months now was that I wanted to finish the race in the daylight. And so that was really the goal I told myself, like finish in the daylight. And that's really what I think kept me moving because I could just focus on this goal that I had set for myself and kind of eliminate the other like goals of ranking or an exact time.
Well, Katie Scheid, thank you so much for taking time out from your home in France to tell us more about this incredible race and your incredible finish in it. I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you.
That was ultra runner and Middlebury College alum Katie Scheid speaking with Mary Angish.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. Today we had additional reporting from Elodie Reed and Lexi Krupp. And we don't often say this on the show, but this podcast is here because of listener support. And this week, we're asking you to support The Frequency and Vermont Public with a financial gift if you're able to.
Actually, Henry, I've done the most public radio thing I could think of.
Uh-huh.
And I composed a short poem.
Okay.
A limerick, in fact.
Wow, okay. All right.
Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh.
It goes like this. It's been a long time since we asked, and we could use some of your cash. There's no obligation, but if you make a donation, it'll help us keep making this podcast.
Wow. This was a surprise. I didn't realize you'd done this.
It had to be a surprise.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Well, we should also note that for every gift to Vermont Public right now, an anonymous supporter will donate one new children's book to the Children's Literacy Foundation. So to make your gift, you can go to vermontpublic.org or call 1-800-639-6391. And Anna will read you more limericks if you donate.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.